Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible. Lots of questions this week?
Sure.
The first question comes from Christy out of Scottsdale, Arizona, and she said, "My nails these days are rigid and splitting. Why is that, and what can I do about it?"
Well, that's a sign, especially if when you were younger, and I'm assuming, I don't know what age you are, but it sounds to me like there was a time they never did that. And I don't get concerned about serious illness, but it does catch my attention. And it's your body talking to you, and that's how it works. Our bodies are having something not go quite well for them, and they give us feedback. Just look at my nails, look at my hair, look at my skin. Oh, I'm aching, I got pain. All the signals are there. And what are these? All of these signals for, including splitting nails? Something's not going quite right. And it's trying to catch your attention. And when it catches your attention, it wants something. Your being, your body wants something. It wants the right answer. It's not going to accept this is an aspirin or a gelatin deficiency, because that's not the right answer. It's going to want the right answer.
Here we are again, sort of in a territory like how we opened.
Yeah.
My guess is the person who wrote this in was hoping for a simple fix. You were going to say something like, increase your B12
that's
or whatever.
Right.
I pulled that out of the air.
Right.
And that would be the thing, and she or he would write it down. It's she. And the nails would get better, and you didn't do that.
I didn't do that. Bad doctor. And you know what? Occasionally it is something so simple like that. You're missing one nutritional element, and if you just supplement that, they're going to get better. And there are things. I mean, even when I was a teenager, some of the teenager girls were trying, in my social group, were trying to improve their nails by taking cow hoofs, otherwise known as Knox gelatin. And some of them did have protein deficiency, and the nails would improve. So let me get to the specifics.
And I didn't mean to knock it at all. I think it's become the unexpected theme of this for me.
Yeah.
That many of the most important real life changing things don't lend themselves to simplified
fixes.
Outside answers. If you just do this, everything gets better.
That's right.
It's an inconvenient.
It took
truth.
Years for something physical, usually, to change in a non-pleasant direction.
Yeah.
But let me focus in on the nails. Sometimes the nails start changing because what nails are made out of are not being supplied. The diet doesn't have enough protein and minerals in it. Nails, hair, protein and minerals, not carbohydrates, proteins and minerals.
Yeah.
And if your diet is deficient in proteins and minerals, you could wind up with a nail issue. So one of the common things, especially if you see white marks in your nails, and it, you know, commonly if you look that up, you'll see, well, this could be a zinc deficiency. What? Zinc? One thing? Yeah, if zinc's deficient, would it be the only thing that was deficient? The soil would have to be, and thus the plants, and thus the animals that are eating them, would have to have an isolated zinc deficiency. And you know, these kind of things do happen, but that's usually not the case. When I think zinc deficiency, I see if zinc is depleted, probably copper, selenium, all kinds of things are deficient, iron. So, you know, let's start with the diet. I always like to know, number one, are people eating a good diet? And what does that mean? You're eating real foods. You're eating vegetables that look like vegetables, and they don't come in a bottle, box, or can. Here we go again.
It's all good.
You're eating animals that are raised in a humane and healthy way, not cooped up in jails, cow jails or pig jails.
Eating what a cow should eat.
Yeah, they're supposed to be roaming around a field eating the grasses. Chickens are supposed to be running around the yard pecking at everything. So you got to go back to how our ancestors ate a couple hundred years ago when they didn't have access to any of this stuff. So you get to real foods. And better yet, you get to organic. So I started asking people what's their diet like. And I have people do a three-day diet diary of what they typically eat. And then, and this depends a little bit on your age, Christy, sometimes people are eating pretty well, but their digestion is diminished. This is legendary. Human beings have discovered this centuries ago.
You explained this to me once like this. It's a myth. We are not what we eat. We are what we successfully digest from what we eat.
And assimilate out of our digestive tract into our body.
Yeah.
And like everything, or is so common, as we age, it's not related to age, but as we grow older, all of our juices diminish. So I can tell you, because you know the focus we place on testing hormones, people peak in their hormones in their 20s, and they decline gradually all the rest of their life. And that is very challenging for them, because these hormones are powerful chemicals. And they do that with their neurotransmitters, and they do that with their digestive juices. So one thing you might try, and there's ways to detect this, and if you go into the I Wonder Doctor section on digestion, we talk about this at great length. There's a lot of videos there in digestion. And the main thing is, high tech, not so much. Digestion requires sitting down to some decent food and being prepared to sit there and enjoy yourself and take your time. And I watch one of my granddaughters eat, your daughter. She eats so slowly, and she's a little self-conscious about it, I've seen at times. But she's the only one that I know is eating properly. She's taking her time. And the best thing you can possibly do for your digestion is chew. Chew, 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 chew.
Sorry to interrupt, as a slight aside, that same daughter who chew, 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 chews has the best refrain. She stops with food left on her plate frequently.
Yes. Oh, tell me how radical that is. How many people pay attention to that?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a good habit to do, is you stop when you've had enough. Because overeating, you know, people are concerned about their weight. Let's start with eating more than what you want and eating for the wrong reasons.
I'm sort of sorry to take you down that path. It's an added benefit to chew, chew, chew.
Yes.
You slow down and you don't eat too much. You get full on time.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Because in order to register that you're not hungry, you have to have food break down all the way so small that it actually makes it into your bloodstream and goes to your brain, and your brain does a reading of, look at this, we've had a meal. It's not satisfactory for your eyeballs to see the meal on the plate, and that makes you lose all your hunger. And if you're eating very rapidly, you don't give that food time to assimilate. And if you eat slowly, there's been enough time for the food to get into your brain and say, oh, we ate, we feel satisfied. People who eat fast, they tend to eat more because they never get that satisfaction, because they never gave the time for digestion to take place. This is a big deal.
We drifted too far away from the initial question.
The nails. So want to improve your digestion. These are simple things to try. Very often, things are very simple. And so you want to improve your digestion. You want to improve what you're eating. You want to improve your digestion. And some people have to augment even hydrochloric acid and or enzymes. And we talk about that in length in I Wonder Doctor, in the videos. So I'm not going to go into detail right now, because you want to provide the raw materials that your body needs to make these highly technical things called fingernails. And the other day when I was visiting my mom, your grandma, our producer's great-grandma, she looked at my nails and she said, at the age of 97, wow, your nails look so good. And I felt, wow, that's fantastic. It's a great thing. And I know what it takes for me to get my, I don't think about it, but, you know, I know how I eat and I know how much care I give to this. And the main thing is, eat good stuff and learn how to digest it and assimilate it, and take supplemental vitamins and minerals, because our food supply just doesn't have it anymore.
unless you've got a garden in your backyard that you're growing food and you're picking it and taking it into the kitchen and putting it on the table, there's a nutrient loss. And what do you need? These nails are made out of minerals and protein. So there's a third thing is sometimes it's a good idea to supplement certain vitamins and minerals and start with a multiple, because it's very rare that you just got an isolated one. And sometimes we can learn more by doing hair testing and measures. So I'm keeping it simple, Christy. Sometimes nail issues are related to hormones. And so I don't know how old you are, but if you're over 30, your female hormones are declining, and that's not okay. And you can lose other hormones that can lead to nail issues. And yeah, there's even some illnesses, but that's not the common thing. The common thing with breaking and chipping nails is you're no longer capable of putting together the high-grade nails because you don't have enough raw materials. And you got to get them through proper diet, proper supplementation, chewing, chew, and taking digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid, as many people do, especially when they're over 35.
Great. I think we have time for one more question today.
Sure.
Okay, this is Richard from Raleigh, North Carolina. He says, I'm in my early 20s and I already seem to be having memory problems. I used to have a great memory. Honestly, I find this very disturbing. What would you suggest I do?
Richard, is that right?
Yeah.
My granddaughter and I just landed near Raleigh, Durham, to go visit a college a while ago. It's fun. It's a pretty area. Of course, I won't digress
in answering, not us.
Answering Richard's question. You're on to something, and the most you're doing the most significant thing that must take place. You're detecting a memory issue early on, and you really want to respect it. And I would recommend a book. I don't want to concern you with the name of this book, but this particular neurologist has identified with as much detail as I've ever seen how people lose their memory. And so I'm going to tell you the name of the author is Dr. Dale Bredesen. And I don't want you to be concerned about the name. This is about changes to the brain of all sorts. And this one is called The End of Alzheimer's. But don't be concerned about that name.
Got it. He's just saying that what works for Alzheimer's also works for
Parkinson's, for all kinds of stuff, for memory loss, short-term memory loss, yeah. All kinds of stuff. And, that's going all the way to where you get to educate yourself around, Dr. Bredesen identifies, I think it's 36 different common causes of how people get memory decline. And you're picking up on it at the perfect time. And don't think this isn't happening to others. It is. And again, it's going to take you back to the basics. You think, oh, this is going to be super highly technical and I'll never figure this out. And again, I hesitated to tell you the title of the book because I don't want you to be concerned. Dr. Bredesen has written the Bible on what causes people to have things that happen to our brains, and thus our memories, and how to address them. And you tune up your lifestyle, and that's what you do. And sometimes you need some technical help. But it's a great place to start right there. Now, I want to give you some simple things. There's a lot of different things that can cause memory decline, and some of them is just stress. And so, if you and I were on the phone, and perhaps next week we could call in and I could talk to you and ask you a bunch of questions, but people who are stressed, they start messing with their brain chemicals, and this isn't the loss of memory is just a signal that, okay, I guess I have to take on the subject called how I respond to stress. And as I've said so many times, I'm not saying take on this subject of eliminating stress. No way. Stress is part of human life, and there's even good reasons for it. But I am saying get better and better and better at how you respond to stress and all the chemicals that go on in your brain and in your body. So I don't know your specific age and your specific circumstances, and if I could have a conversation with you, or if you emailed me and told me a lot of detail about yourself, I would know where to zero in. But I mentioned the big stuff that really challenges brain. Sometimes just thinking habits where you overtax your brain.
I've never felt myself to have an amazing memory.
Yeah.
And you and I, summer before last, went on that camping trip where we took ourselves deep into the mountains right. and set up our hammocks and stayed there for a long time. And I love to read, and so I read a novel from start to finish.
Yes.
And then you and I sat down one day, and you asked me casually, what was that book about? And we had time on our hands. And I could recite to you from start to finish that entire book exactly as it had played out. And
I was blown away.
Yeah.
And you took hours to do it. And I was utterly fascinated by the story.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by the level of detail you remembered.
Yeah. And why? I mean, it's the flip side to my stressed time. That was my most at peace, most focused, blissed out time imaginable. I was given my brain the exact opportunity to truly delve into that book and remember it. And I did. And of all the books I've read since, I bet you I could still recite that book better than the ones I've read since. Because
I know.
That was a...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, here I am talking about my granddaughter again. But I remember one day when we had a very substantial workload all day here in the studio, and then we did the lives, and it was when we were first putting together the technology, the lives, and then she and I went out to dinner afterwards, and we're both sitting there at that dinner table, our brains hurt because we had overtaxed our brain.
Yeah.
And you know, in this day and age, when you're getting digital flashes from every which way, and we're overthinking. So let me take you back a step, because you are noticing that your memory is not really up to speed. And if you take yourself back to the basics, which is my body is talking to me. And you're taking an important first step, Richard. You noticed it. And it's concerning you. And that's a proper, appropriate, and essential first response. So good going. I know that doesn't end it for you, but you've taken step one. Until someone sees it and admits something, nobody has a chance to accomplish hardly anything on earth. And so follow the bouncing ball. Take this project on, because you are going to unveil the issues of nutrition, toxicity, exercise, and stress, and how you respond to stress that's going to take you into how this declined, because that's the causes of the thing all the time. And you can say, well, there's genetics. And I can say, no, it's how you treat your genes. Now, these things, you can get oblivious to the causes, because there can be just a lot of slow boiling things. I hate that analogy, so I'm not going further into it. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. But there's a lot of causes, but we've lived in them so long, like maybe you're watching screens all day long. And you've exhausted your mind. And then, of course, Kim is an absolute expert on what it takes to have good memory. And one of the things I've learned for her, because she works with people.
People may not know who Kim is.
Yeah, she's my beloved. She has worked with dyslexia and reading challenged and autistic, the whole spectrum out there. And memory is one of their big things. And some people never learn how to remember things. What? You're supposed to be automatic on memory. No. You have to show up enough to actually see and be a part of what's going on. And it's the technical term of the people who have done the very best work on the planet, Linda Mood Bell. They call it visualizing and verbalizing. You're focusing enough, and your attention is enough on the thing, and you're present enough that you actually see it and visualize it and are with it, and not moving on to the next thing, or not just touching on it but then forgetting it. So there's all kinds of things to improve your memory, providing these other core things aren't happening to pay attention to, and I can't cover the whole gamut. That's why I sent you to Dr. Bredesen at first. Another thing I really think that you should pay attention to is how your body works with glucose. What? Because one of the ways that we challenge our physical bodies that are so prevalent and almost universal and weren't even existent to any the extent they are now when I was in medical school is the diabetes spectrum. Because we know what hurts the brain the most, outside of obvious toxic poisons and stuff, is excessive glucose in the blood.
Sugar.
Sugar. Sweet. And so this is a whole subject. And we know that one of the most egregious things that have taken place in the American Western diet is the providing of excessive simple carbohydrates. And your body might be giving you a signal that you got to need to get a blood test to test your fasting blood glucose, your hemoglobin A1C, etc. Or you can just look at your diet or go to a nutritionist. They can look at your diet. And if they're one of the more modern nutritionists, linger there. They're going to go, you're eating too many simple carbohydrates, and that's going to raise your blood glucose, that's going to raise your insulin, that's going to give you insulin resistance, and ultimately that's going to affect a lot of things, including your brain. So one of the most common things that injures the brain and the memory is the whole march on to diabetes that takes place as you lose control of your body's ability to handle this rocket fuel called sweets.
We've got to wrap so that we can get ready for our next one.
Yes, okay.
What a theme. The overall arching theme of this whole thing was this super basic concept.
Right.
Hopefully not boring. Called you just got to take care of this body.
Yeah.
And do those kind things to it. And whatever it is, nails, brains, whatever.
Right.
The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone, connected to the brain bone.
Connected to the health food store. Connected to the YMCA.
Connected to the hammock in the mountains.
That's right.
Anyhow, thank you once again.
Thank you once again.
And we will see you all in 10 minutes for next week.
Or next week.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.